Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin daf Yud Beis. We left off on daf Yud Beis Amaral. We got all the way to the two dots on the first white line of daf Yud Beis Amaral. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha. Allah Shalom, we thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi. So the first thing we're going to talk about is whether the sheer pruta that you need, according to the Beis Hillel, to be Mekadesh Anisha, changes over time, or do we assume that it's stagnant, that whatever the sheer pruta was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu is what the sheer pruta always is. The Gemara is going to make some complicated calculations, and then we're going to talk about what if a person does Kiddushin with something that is not worth the pruta, at least where he is, it's not worth the pruta. Are we choshesh? Maybe it's worth the pruta somewhere else, and therefore maybe she is mekudeshes. Or do we assume, nah, she's not mekudeshes, it's not worth the pruta here, and therefore she's not mekudeshes. The Gemara is going to bring different maises, different stories where such cases came up, and how we paskin on those situations. Then the Gemara is going to talk about eight different misdeeds that Rav would give people malchus for. Eight different things that would cause Rav to give someone Malkus. And the Gemara is going to say that according to another opinion, Rav didn't give Malkus on all of those things. Maybe only on one or two of those things did Rav actually give Malkus. And then the Gemara, at the end of the daf, is going to talk about a case where a woman was shaska, she was quiet when she received the Kiddushin, and whether we assume that that shtika is kehoda'a, that that was a kabbalah of the Kiddushin, in unusual cases, meaning in a regular case where he gives her something, a ring under a chuppah, and he says, and she receives it, she doesn't say anything, so of course she's mekudeshes. But more unusual cases of shtika, whether that's a valid Kiddushin or not. So let's begin again at the first wide line, Andaf Yud Beis Amar Aleph. So the Mishnah had said that according to the Beis Hillel Omrim, Bepruta, and also Beshava Pruta, and then the Mishnah defined what's a Pruta word. Echad mishmona beisar ha'italki. So the Gemara wants to know: do we always view the shear that you're able to be the shear of money that you're able to be mekadesh nisha with as 1/8 of an isri italki, or do we assume that in each generation there's something called a pruta, and whatever is called a pruta in your generation is going to be perfectly fine for kiddushin? So Savar of Yosef Lemeimer, of Yosef thought to say pruta kolduhu. When Beis Hillel says you can be mekadesh nisha with a pruta, it means even if a particular the generation, the shear of a pruta changes, and whatever coin they call a pruta is less than 1/8 of an isri italki, still an isha could be miskadeshes with that pruta. That's how the Rishonim understand that even Rav Yosef holds that you have to be mekadesh with a pruta. It's just that he holds that even if a pruta is worth less than 1/8 of an isri italki in a particular generation, then an isha is miskadeshes with it. That's how the Ritva learns this Gemara. The Chazon Ish, however, explains that Rav Yosef holds that any small matbeya that is used as currency in any generation, an isha is miskadeshes bo, even if it's not called a pruta. So you take a penny and you mekadesh nisha with it. Chaznish says that too would be considered a valid kiddushin according to Rav Yosef, that there's not even magic to the name pruta, let alone to the value of a pruta. So some Rav Yosef name pruta called who Amalei Abayis. Abayis said to Rav Yosef, "Vahaala katani." But on Beis Hillel it says, "Kami hi pruta echon mishmona beisrei talki." Meaning the Mishnah elaborates on Beis Hillel and says that a pruta is dafka 1/8 of an isrei talki. So apparently a pruta that's worth less than that is not valid for kiddushin. V'chitema, unless you say hani mili, that the Mishnah is only talking about a sheer pruta that bedoro shel Moshe, in the generation of Moshe, aval hacha, but in later generations, kidachashva luhula inshi, maybe it's whatever people consider it to be, and even if it's less than the pruta in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, you could still be mekadesh anisha with it, meaning Abayi is saying, I suspect that's what you're trying to say, Rav Yosef, that if in a later generation a pruta is less than echad mishmona b'isrei italki, that you're able to be mekadesh anisha with it. But v'akiyas Rav Dimi, but when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, he told about a story that happened in front of Rabbi Simai about an Isha that was Niskadish Bepruta that was worth less than an Isser Italki, or less than 1/8 of an Isser Italki, and Shir Rabbi Simai Bedoro Kamihi Pruta Echad Mishman of Isser Italki, and therefore Rabbi Simai said the Kiddush is not Chal, because he assessed that in his generation a Pruta actually should be Echad Mishman of Isser Italki, and this Kiddush happened with something that was worth less than that. V'chiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Dustayv, Rabbi Yanev, Rabbi Oshaya, Shiru Kamavu Pruta, Echon Mishisha Bisri Italki. And when Ravin came, he said that a number of Gedolei Amoraim measured out a Pruta to be 1/6 of an Isri Italki. So what you see from there is that even in later generations, we're Mishair, the Pruta that's needed for Kiddushin, based on the Shir of the Mishnah. And we don't look at the Matbeya that's called the Pruta in that generation. We have to do the assessment of whether it's worth 1/8 of an Isri Talki, or not worth 1/8 of an Isri Talki, because that's the shear the Mishnah gave. So don't you see that the shear is stagnant, that it's not something that could change based on each generation? So that is Abaye's challenge to Rav Yosef. Now the Ritva raises the question that if the shear in the Mishnah is whatever it was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, what's the other side? That it changes over time, and the Mishnah just mentions the shear in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, it might have a hava. Why do I care what the shear of a pruta was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, if there's no halacha like that? Meaning that just happens to be what the halacha was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But Me'echi Tesi, that matters to us if you're going to say that it could change in each generation, and it's whatever Pruta is worth nowadays. So the Ritva said, no, it'll be nafkamina in a situation where you don't have a matbeya that's called a Pruta. So then what can I be Mekadesh Nisha with if there's no matbeya that's called a Pruta? So then I would have to go back, I would revert back to something that's worth Echon Mishman Abisari Talki, what a pruta was worth in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Or, says the Ritva, nafkamina would be in a case where we know that the woman is makbid not to be miskadish with less than a prutas Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning if she has a personal hakpada that she will not accept kiddushin for anything less than a pruta of the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so then we have to know what that's going to be. Pnei Yeshua suggests nafkamina is based on what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Dalvin, that only that which is over the socher is considered mammon, only that which can be used as currency is considered mammon. So the Mishnah is explaining that the pruta that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu is always considered mammon, because we view that as kesef mida oraisa. So even if the impression that you get is that it's not over the socher, that's the minimum of what's always going to be considered a standard of mammon. Anyway, be that as it may, we're in the middle of a conversation over here, right? Meaning we had Rav Yosef saying that pruta depends on each generation, and we don't go back to a standard valuation of pruta. And Abaye says, what are you talking about? We find that everyone always goes back to measure. So I'm there, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, Ihachi, if the din is that in all the generations were Meshayer pruta based on 1/8 of an Isra Italki, Hainu Ditanina, what it says in the Braisa, when someone is Nene from Hegdish Beshogeg, the halacha is that he has to bring an asham that's worth Shnei Slaim. It's a pasuk in the Torah, Vehavias Asham Allah Hashem, Ayil Tam Menatzon, Be'erkecha Kesef Shkalim. So Tzevech Hashov, he says, go do the cheshbonos of how much a person has to be marchik himself from doing an Aveira. Because how much Hana'ah did the guy get from Hegdish to be mechayiv himself in this korban that's worth Shnei Slaim? If he gets a Shavu Pruta's worth of Hana'ah from Hegdish, he has to bring a korban worth Shnei Slaim, which is much more expensive. Kama prutos b'shnei slaim? How many prutos are there in shnei slaim? Yoser me'al payim. There are more than 2,000 prutos in shnei slaim. And the way that in Taras Kohanim, the way the Brisa continues is im kach ana shakosav es hashogeg alachas kama v'kama sheyamnu shesamezit. If that's the price a person has to pay for an avera b'shogeg, can you imagine the price a person has to pay for an avera b'mezit? If there's such a discrepancy between the price of the Aveira and the cost of the Kapara for that Aveira for a shogeg. But anyway, according to you, Abaye, that the Shir Pruta is always 1/8 of an Isra Italki, Hashta alpayim lo havin yasum alpayim karilu. It's not even, there aren't even 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim. So to go and say that there's more than 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim, if pruta is a fixed amount and it's 1/8 of an Isri Talki, you don't even have 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim. The Machna points out that you can't be mechalik and say, well, wait a second, that's talking about dine me'ila and the carbon that you bring for it. We're talking about dine kiddushin. Mechitesi, they have the same rules. Maybe for kiddushin, we go with a fixed pruta, and for me'ila, we don't go with a fixed pruta, and therefore it could change, and therefore you could have more than 2,000. So the Machna writes, no, because the Mishnah B'Metzia says, chamesh prutosein, that there are five dinim that relate to a pruta, and on the list are both mi'ila and kiddushin. So it sounds like they have the same rule of pruta, that the way we assess a pruta by mi'ila and by kiddushin should be the same based on the Mishnah. So anyway, so what we've just proven is, l'chora, when it comes to mi'ila at least, the definition of pruta changes over time. Otherwise, we can never say that there are more than 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim. So Amlu Ahu Saba, so Ahu Saba said back, Anotaninala, Karov la alpayim. He said, no, I have a different girsa in that brisa. Not that there are more than 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim, but that there are close to 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim. And when a pruta is Echon Mishmona B'Yisrael Yitalki, you have that. You have close to 2,000 prutos in Shnei Slaim. Says Mar, do you? Sof, if you really do the math, Alpa V'Chamish Mea V'Tlasin V'Shita, what you'll find out is that you'll have 1,536 prutos in Shnei Slaim, Hudavian. That's what you have in Shnei Slaim. That's what you call Karov to 2,000? 1,536 is Karov to 2,000? How did they get 1,536? So quickly, the cheshbon is, a sela has 4 dinar in it, a dinar has 24 isars in it, every isar is 8 prutos. So it turns out that a dinar has 192 prutos. A sela has 768 prutos. Shnei Slaim is 768 times 2. So that's how the Gemara got to this number. But bottom line is, it's nowhere near 2,000. Answers the Gemara, near enough. Kiva denafka lumi palga, karav l'alpayim karilei. Since it's more than halfway there, between 1,000 and 2,000, we call that close to 2,000. Meaning once you pass the 1,500 mark, we're allowed to call that close to 2,000. In the Atzmos Yosef, he points out that one time someone came to him and he had a shtar where I guess they didn't have a good lawyer and things were not clear at all in the shtar, and the shtar said, Karov l'shloshes alafim, you owe me close to $3,000. So he made him pay $2,501, meaning that's all you can only make him pay. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. All that shtar is mochiach is that it's what some definition of karov is. So the definition of karov is what the Gemara says when it's a little more than halfway there. But more than that, you can't be mechayiv the fellow to pay any more. It's a tricky thing, right? When you have someone that borrows money from somebody else and they don't remember the exact term. And they have to, because then you run risks of ribbis if he pays too much, right? So you have to be somewhat conservative in the estimate. So you always go, and plus I'm also mechaver alav raya, so you're always going to go with the smallest amount. Okay, so now the Gemara brings amoraim that we mentioned previously about the sheer pruta. So gufa, we had mentioned that kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar shir Rabbi Simai bedoro kama who he pruta, that Rabbi Simai did an assessment in his generation how much a pruta is, echon mish Shmona b'Yisrael Yitalki, 1/8 of an Yisrael Yitalki, v'kiyasa Ravin, and when Ravin came, Amar Shir Rabbi Dustai v'Rabbi Yanai v'Rabbi Yoshaya, the Rabbi Dustai, Rabbi Yanai v'Rabbi Yoshaya made their own assessment, kamihi pruta, how much is a pruta, echad mishisha b'Yisrael Yitalki, and it's 1/6 of an Yisrael Yitalki. So I'm like, Abayil Rav Dimi, neima at v'Ravin, b'plukta dahani tanoikum v'flugisu. So Abayil said to Rav Dimi, maybe you and Ravin argue in the machlokas of the following Tanoim. Ditanya, because we have a brisa, Pruta Sha'amru Chachamim, when the Chachamim say a shear of a Pruta, it's Echad Mishmona B'Isra Yitalki. So it's 1/8 of an Isra Yitalki. And the Bryce explains the Cheshbon of how a Pruta is 1/8 of an Isar, Sheish Ma'a Kesef Dinar, that 6 Ma'us of Kesef are in a Dinar. Ma'a Shnei Pundyonin. A Ma'a has 2 coins called Pundyonin in a Ma'a. Pundyon shnei isarin. Each pundyon has 2 isars. Isar shnei musmisin. Each isar has shnei musmisin. Mismas shnei kuntronkin. Kuntrank shtei prutos. Nimtza pruto achas mishron lebisra yitalki. Meaning, if you just pick it up with the isarin and go weiter from there, you see how it's echad mishmona, right? If an isar is 2 musmisim and a musmis is 2 kuntrankin and a kuntrank is 2 prutos, there you have it. That's that a pruta is 1/8 of an isar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the shear of a pruta is 1/6 of an isar, and he does the cheshbon as follows: shlosha hadrusin lema'a. There are 3 hadruses in a ma'a. Shnei Hansin Lahadris. There are 2 Hansin in a Hadris. Shnei Shminin Lahans. And there are 2 Shmin, another type of coin, in a Hans. Shtei Prutos Lashamin. And there are 2 Prutos in a Shamin. Nimtza Pruta Achas Mishisha B'Israel Yitalki. So it turns out that a Pruta is 1/6 of an Israel Yitalki. So Lema Demar Amar Katanakama. So maybe Rav Dimi holds like the Tanakama that a Pruta is 1/8 of an Isar. V'Ravin Damak Ramashim Gamliel. And Ravin holds like Ramashim Gamliel that it's 1/6 of an Isar. So Amalei, Rav Dimi said back to Abayi, no, Bain Didi, Bain Ravin, both I and Ravin, Aliba de Tanakama, are working within the Shita of the Tanakama. I, Ravin sounds like he's going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's saying 1/6. No, velo kasha, it's not a kasha. The basis of Ravin is not because Prutos went up in value and now they're worth 1/6 of an Isser. It's that I and Ravin are talking about 2 different situations. Hadi Iyakiri Suri, when I said that the shear of a Pruta is 1/8 of an Isser, that's at a time when Isurim were very highly valued. It's not the Pruta that changed, it's the Isser that changed. So obviously, the way you're if the pruta remained the same and the value of the iser changed, so the percentage of an iser that a pruta is going to vary. So and when Ravin said that the shear of pruta is 1/6 of an iser, is dizali suri, is when isurim went down in value and they were worth less. So the chilik between the time that an iser was expensive and an iser was not expensive, hadi iyakiri suri, when an iser was had a high value, so kum esrim v'arba bezuzah, they were 24 isers for azuz. Hadzal kum tlas in a trade bezuzah, and when they went down in value, there were 32 for azuz. So if you do the math, it works out that it's 1/8 or 1/6. We don't have to get into all that, but so it wasn't a machlokas how much a pruta was worth. It was based on different times where the iser was worth different things. So now the Gemara explains that what if you're mekadesh anisha with something that's worth less than a pruta? Do I have to assume that it's at least a kiddushei safek because maybe somewhere else this item is worth a pruta? So Amar Shmuel kitcha b'tamara. If a man is mekadesh nisha with a tamara, with a date, afilu omid kor tamarim b'dinar. Even if a kor of tamarim costs only a single dinar, which would mean that each tamar is worth way less than a dinar, mekudeshes. The halacha is that she is mekudeshes. Why chashin and shem shav a pruta b'madai? Because I have to be choshish that maybe it's worth a pruta. Where tamarim are not so commonly found in Madai, so maybe a date is going to be much more expensive in such places. So the Pnei Yeshua points out that this is only if he says Harei Mekadesh Li B'Tamarazu, and he doesn't say that it's Shavar Pruta. So then we're told that the woman might be willing to accept Kiddushin even if it's worth a Pruta anywhere. But, says the Pnei Yeshua, if he says to her Harei Mekadesh Li B'Tamarazu She Shavar Pruta, and he says that it's Shavar Pruta, then it's got to be Shavar Pruta over here. And if it's not Shavar Pruta over here, then Einu Mekadeshes Bichlal. The only way we're ever going to take into account that it might be worth a Shavar Pruta somewhere is if you didn't specifically say that it's Shavar Pruta. V'ha'anantanan, so ask the Gemara, but wait a second, we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, the Beisil, Pruta, B'Shavar Pruta. Beisil holds to be Mekadesh Nisha, you need to be Mekadesh with either a Pruta or a Shavar Pruta. But if Shmuel is correct that you can use something that's even worth less than a Pruta over here, and she's still at least suffering Mekadeshes because maybe it's worth of pruta somewhere else, how come Beis Hillel says pruta b'shava pruta? So says Marno, that's it. Lo kasha. Habi k'dushi vadei, habi k'dushi safek. Hillel is asking, if you, Hillel, in our Mishnah, the Beis Hillel is addressing someone who's asking for instructions. What should I do to be Mekadei Shanisha? So Beis Hillel says, you want to have a kiddushin where you know that you have a kiddushin, you take something that's actually worth a pruta, where you are, basharusham, and that's how you make a kiddushin. If you want to know how to really mess up your life and create a suffix kiddushin and have a situation where you're going to need to get, but you're not going to be able to go home with the woman yet, okay, so enachinami, for a suffix kiddushin, even if it's not worth a pruta over here, it might be worth a pruta somewhere else, and the kiddushin is going to be chal mi suffix. Now, there is a discussion in the Rishonim what the nature of that is, of that suffix kiddushin, whether is that midaraisa or is that midarabanan. The basis of the machlokas is in a situation where we know that, let's say, it's worth a pruta somewhere else. Let's say it's not a chashash, maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere else. I know this item is not worth, this tamara is not worth a pruta over here, but it definitely is worth a pruta somewhere else. So the Ramban, the Rush, the Ritva all hold that whether you know it's worth a shav pruta in Madai, or whether you don't know it's, if it's worth a shav pruta in Madai, the Kiddushin is only chal misafek, because in the b'mamon el makom v'shaito. When it comes to money, you look at where you are, when you are, and the reason the Kiddushin is chal is a gezeira midrabanan, that they were machmir by Kiddushin. When they call the Kiddushin Safek, it means that the Rabbanan made this Kiddushin ki'ilu Kiddushin Safek, which means to say that on a Daraisa level, of course we look at where you are and how much it's worth where you are and when you are. We look at Makom of Shaito and that's it. I don't care what's going on in the market in Madai and how much a date costs in Madai on a Daraisa level. Midrabbanan there goes there that it should have the status of Safek Kiddushin. However, the Mi'iri writes that if you know that it's worth a pruta somewhere else, he says in a case where you know that in some place it's worth a pruta, then the kiddushin is going to be chal b'toras vadai. We call this a safek kiddushin because we don't know if it's worth a pruta anywhere else. But if you did know that it's worth a pruta somewhere else, it's chal b'toras vadai mida oraisa. So this is a safek mida oraisa. The Nitziv in Merami Sad is Medayik from Rashi, a third shita that Shmuel is Dafka talking about, where you know that it's worth a, that there's a place where it's worth a Shav Pruta, but if you didn't know that it's worth a Shav Pruta anywhere, you wouldn't be choshish at all that there is such a place. Meaning the whole case in the Gemara is not just a chashash, it might be worth a Pruta Madai, you know it's worth a Pruta Madai, and that's where it's a Safek Kiddushin. So somewhere in between those two shitos. So anyway, so that's the Machlokas Rishonim about what exactly this shita of Shmuel is, that if you mekadesh b'tamara, even if it's worth way less than a pruta, she's mekudeshes misafek. So anyway, so now says the Gemara is going to bring a maisa and use this maisa to ask on Shmuel. Who gavar da akdish bizavda du urde? A man was mekadesh nisha with a pile of wool or cotton or something. So Yosef Rav Simi Bar Chiya came to Rav. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya came to Rav. V'kama ayin ba, and he was looking into what the valuation of this was. Is b'shav pruta in ilolo? If it's worth a pruta, she's mekadeshes. If not, she's not mekadeshes. So says Shmuel, wait, but he lets b'shav pruta low. If it's not worth the shav pruta, you're so sure she's not mekadeshes. V'amar Shmuel chayshinan. But didn't Shmuel say that we have to be choshish? Maybe it's worth a pruta somewhere, and therefore maybe she should be mekadeshes. No, lo kasha. Habi kiddushin vaday. When Rav Shimi Bar Chiya was looking whether it's worth the shav pruta, he wanted to know, is it a vaday kiddushin? If it's worth the shav pruta here, it's a vaday kiddushin. Habi kiddushin safek. Shmuel was only saying that it would be a kiddushin safek if it's worth a shav pruta somewhere else, or it might be worth a shav pruta somewhere else. So the investigation over here was, do I have a kiddushei vadai on my hands, or do I only have a kiddushei safek on my hands? But hey, I definitely don't have nothing on my hands, because if you're mekadesh nisha with pots mishav pruta, Shmuel's right that might be worth a pruta somewhere else. Another story: who gavra da akdish ba'avna dekuchla? Someone was mekadesh nisha with a small piece of marble, of black marble. Yosef Rav Chista v'kamishayr leis. Rav Chista was trying to assess its value. Yis b'shav pruta in. If it's worth a shav pruta, then she's mekadeshes to this guy. And the case was that after this kiddushin was given, another guy came and was mekadesher with something that's definite. definitely a pruta. So he said, if it's worth a shava pruta, so then good. Then the first kiddushin was chal. The second kiddushin is not going to be chal. Shef Shmaitza says, you see from here that you follow chazaka tahashta, meaning if I assess today that this piece of marble is worth a shava pruta, how do I know that at the time of the kiddushin yesterday it was worth a shava pruta? I would assume the market on stone and marble fluctuates. So how could I, if it was such a close call that I had to do a whole assessment to be able to see if it's worth a pruta, how do I know that yesterday was worth a pruta? So if you don't have a chazaka de meyukara, you see you follow a chazaka de hashta. That if right now I know that it's worth something, I'm able to go back. So that's what the Shmaitza brings this as one of the rayas. So anyway, any lo, if it's not going to be worth a shav pruta, he's going to assume that there's no kiddushin with the first guy, and the kiddushin with the second guy is a valid kiddushin. But ask the Gemara, if he iles pe shav pruta lo, if there's no shav pruta, you're so sure that there's no kiddushin with the first guy, and there is a kiddushin with the second guy. But didn't Shmuel say we always have to be choshesh that maybe it's worth a shav pruta somewhere, and therefore there's a kiddushin safek? So if Chista lo savrele de Shmuel, and Echadam, you know, Chista rejects Shmuel. He holds that if Mekadesh with pachs mishav pruta, we're not choshesh that it's worth something somewhere else, and the woman is not mekudeshes at all. Tosfos raises the question, why didn't the Gemara just answer like it did before, that kan b'kiddushei vadeh, kan b'kiddushei safek, that he was looking into it to see if we have a kiddushei vadeh over here. But in Echinami, we for sure at least have a kiddushei safek. So Tosfos says, no, because there was a second Mekadesh over here, and it could be that that second Mekadesh, the second guy to be Mekadesher, was the brother of the first guy. So Rav Chist is coming to be Mafkia, the kiddushei Rishon, so that she could be Mekudeshes to the second guy. But if Shmuel is correct that she's Mekudeshes Misafik to the first guy, she'll never be able to marry the second guy, even if the first guy gives a get, because she's a Safik Grusha Safik, and you wouldn't be able to. So the very fact that he was trying to work out a situation to see if she can go home with the second guy, that would never happen if at a minimum you had a Kiddushei Safik with the first guy. It must be that at a minimum you had zero with the first guy. So if you had zero with the first guy, then she'd be able to go home with the second guy. If the second guy wasn't, it's quite an akimta to make it like that, but if the second guy was the brother of the first guy. So Amalei Ime, the mother of this woman, came to Rav Chista and said, that how do you know that just because you've assessed that it's not worth a pruta today, that she's not Mekudeshes L'Rishon, I argue that on the day the Kiddushin happened, it was worth a Shava Pruta. Now it's not a Shava Pruta. So Amalei, Rav Chista said, Lav Kal Kaminachta Satala Basra. You don't have the right to ask her to the second guy with your claim that it was worth a Shava Pruta on the day of the Kiddushin. That's where you see that clearly the goal was, like Tulsa said, to be matir her to the second guy. And that's what gave Tosos that idea, that makom, to argue that that maybe if they're brothers, that it would have to be that there's no kiddushin at all with the first guy in order for Rav Chista to accomplish his goal of being matir to the second guy. And Rav Chista made a point to show that his argument is compelling. Meaning Rav Chista said, don't tell me that it was worth a pruta on the day of the kiddushin. You don't have ne'amanus to say such a thing. After all, live hainu to Yehudis, the bitu to Rabbi Chia. You know what this reminds me of, says Rav Chista? The story of Yehudis, the wife of Rabbi Chia, where a wild story. Davila Tsar Leda, she was suffering from childbirth. She had twins, and it was a very, very difficult labor, and she wanted to make herself usher to her husband so that she'll never have to experience this again. So Amrilei, so she said to her husband, Amrilei, you know, my mother once told me that kibul b'chavich kiddushei kizutras, that when you were a little girl, your father accepted kiddushin on your behalf from some other guy, and therefore I'm asura to you. I was always asura to you. Like, where was this information for the first several years of her marriage? Before the twins were born? So Amrallah, so Rabbi Chia said to her, Lav kol kamina di imeich tasateli lavai. Sorry, your mother doesn't have ne'amanas, ta'asr you on me. So just like Rabbi Chia said that his mother-in-law doesn't have ne'amanas, ta'asr her on him, so too over here, in this case of the Avim Dukuchla that the man was Mekadesh Yishu with, the mother doesn't have the right to ta'asr the daughter on the second Mekadesh. Tosfos Rid raises the question that Yehudis, Rabbi Chia's wife, it was agreeing with her mother. So, l'chora, we should say, Shaviyad Nafsha, chaticha di yisura, and therefore she should take the yisur. She should be not menace. Why not say shavi anafsh chaticha di yisura? So he answers based on Rav Nachman at the end of Masechet Nedarim, Daf Sadi Aleph, that a woman is not not menace to asur herself on her husband because we're always choshe shema nasne einea ba'acher, that maybe she's looking, she has her eyes on someone else, so she's trying to make herself asur to her husband. So over here also, the woman is ready meshubedes to the mekadesh, so we assume that she wants to asur herself on him. Pnei Yeshua suggests that Yehudis herself didn't know whether her father was mekadesh, or it's only she was only reporting what her mother said, so it's not shavya nafsha. She wasn't agreeing to her mother, she was just reporting that this is what my mother had said. Now the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Chista, and they hold that if there's a kol that there are edim at the time of the kiddushin that it was worth a shavar pruta, then she's mekadesh as the rishon. We don't say no lav kol kamina. So Amar le Rabbanan Rav Chista, Rabbanan said to Rav Chista, Amai, why aren't you choshish for the kiddushin of the first guy? Ha'ika sahadi, there's a call that there were edim at that kiddushin, and there be edis, they're in some faraway place. But those edim, if we ever find them, they'll be able to report that they know that it was worth a shavar pruta at the time of the kiddushin. So if Chista said, I don't have to be choshish that there's rumors that there are edim somewhere that know that it was worth a shavar pruta at the time of kiddushin, hash to me, a little listener, come on. I don't see any edim in front of me right now. And if I don't see any edim in front of me right now, the only bit of evidence I have in front of me right now is the item that was used for kiddushin. I did an assessment of it. It's not worth a pruta. Memela, there's no kiddushin. I don't have to look beyond that. Lav hainud Rabbi Chanina. Isn't this like what Rabbi Chanina said? Dam Rabbi Chanina, Eidea b'tzadistan v'teyaser. The case of Rabbi Chanina was in the second parak of Maseches Ksubos and Daf Chaf Gimel. The daughters of Shmuel were taken captive, and after they were freed, they said that they were tahoros, that no one had touched them. So Rabbi Chanina said to Rav Shimon bar Abba, who was a Kohen, that he could marry one of them. So Rav Shimon bar Abba said, but there was a call that they were taken, that there were edim that they were taken captive, and if there are edim that a woman was nishbeis and she says tahora ani, she's not ne'emenes. Meaning, if we know she was nishbeis because she says she was nishbeis and she says tahora ani hapesha asaru hapesha hitir, so then we're going to believe her because I didn't know that she was held captive in the first place. So I believe her. If I'm going to believe her that she was held captive, I believe her that nothing happened in captivity. But if there are edim that she was held captive, so then she's not the pesha asar. So Rabbi Chanina responded, I don't see any edim right now that she was held captive, and therefore she's not a surah to a kohen. So just because the edim are somewhere up north and they're not made, I'm not going to asur this woman. Right? That's what the Gemara over there tells the story, that they were clever. They knew that there were edim, so they quickly ran in and told and self-reported before any edim could report that they were held captive. So the Gemara brings the machlok samurayim on Rav Chista, and they reject this raya from the story with Rabbi Chanina, from the case of the captives. Abayev Ravelo Sviruluhu Lahad Rav Chista. They do not hold like Rav Chista. They hold that we're choshish for a kol. If there's a kol that there are edim somewhere that know that it was worth a pruta at the time of kiddushin, we have to pay attention to that kol. And what about the case of the shvuyah where I'm not worried that there might be edim somewhere that know that she was held captive? Imikilu b'shvuyah, you're going to be makel by a shvuyah. You know what a shvuyah does to avoid being raped in captivity? She makes herself disgusting. She makes herself as unattractive as she possibly can be, and therefore I don't have to be choshish for such a call. But nekel beishas ish. But by neishas ish, you don't have such a svara that she's menavel nafsha, and therefore, so you're going to be makel and you're not going to be choshish for such a call. Why is it that a shvuyah is menavel atzma? So in the Chacham Tzvi, he writes, in order that the captor shouldn't be attracted to her and shouldn't be boiled her. Pnei Yeshua suggests that she does it in order that she should be released, because her price is going to go down to release her from captivity if he sees that she's very unattractive. Meaning she's worth a lot more if she's very attractive. She's worth a lot less, so she wants to be released from captivity. So she knows people will be willing to pay. You know, as the lower price goes, the better her chances are to be released from captivity. But so ishtar meahi, the Gemara says that meahi mishpacha, that there was a remaining over from that mishpacha that Rav Chista was matir their mother to get married to the second mekadesh. Right, in this case where there was this stone, this piece of marble that was used for the kiddushin rishon, and then someone else was mekadesh with the pruta, and Rav Chista says the stone wasn't worth the pruta, so therefore she can go home with the second guy. So she did, and she had a whole whole family, and there are still members of that family around. Besura in Surah, Uparsha Rabbanamina, the Rabbanan stayed away from that family. However, it's not because they held like Shmuel that we're choshesh that maybe it's worth a shavu pruta somewhere else. It's because they hold like Abaye Rava that we're choshesh for a kol that there were edim that it was worth a pruta at the time of the kiddushin. Meaning there are two directions you could have gone with this in to be choshesh that the first kiddushin was valid. Either because I know it's not worth a pruta here, but it might be worth a pruta in Madai, or no, it might actually be worth a pruta here. Because there's a rumor that there are edim that it was worth a pruta over here. So not that we pasken like Shmuel, but that we pasken like Abaye and Rava. So the Ritva writes mikan muchach that we don't pasken like Shmuel, because the Gemara makes a point to say that when the Rabbanan stayed away from this family, it's not because they held like Shmuel. Why make a point to say it's not because they held like Shmuel? It must be because we don't hold like Shmuel. Nevertheless, the Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Ishos, the Rif, the Rush, the Smag, all pasken like Shmuel. That if you're mekadesh with something that's pasken mishav pruta, you have to be choshesh and maybe it's shav pruta b'makom acher. The gra even has a different girsa. That the girsa in the Gemara is not v'lav mishum desvira luhu de Shmuel, but the gra's girsa is v'lav mishum de Shmuel. So it's not an outright rejection of svira luhu de Shmuel. It's not an outright rejection of holding like Shmuel. So the Gemara brings a maisa where we were choshesh for Shmuel. Who gavra da aktish b'shutisa da'asa. There was a guy that was mekadesh nisha with a hadas that was not worth a pruta. B'shuka, out in the shuk, in the open market. So shilcha ravacha barhuna lekamed Rav Yosef. Ki agav namai. Well, what's the status over here? So shalach lei nagdei kirav. So he said, first thing you got to do is give the guy malchus for trying to be mekadesh nisha in a public marketplace like that. Because Rav used to be mekadesh nisha, used to give malchus for someone who's mekadesh nisha in a shuk. But she still needs to get like Shmuel, because even though it's not worth the Shavu Pruta, who knows, maybe it's worth the Shavu Pruta somewhere else, and therefore you have to require a get less to be worth a Pruta in some other location. So it says Gemara, the Rav Mangid, once we mentioned that you should give Malkus like Rav, the Rav Mangid, Rav would give Malkus for 8 different things. Malkus over here means Makas Mardis, that where Rav would give. Makas Mardis Midrabanan. The Tosefta Mesechus Malkus says Makas Mardis is not 39 Malkus, like Malkus Midaraisa. It's until the person is either Mekabal on himself that he's not going to do it anymore, or Achetetze Navsho. The Rivash, however, quotes a Tosos that even Makas Mardis maxes out at 39. And brings a raya from the Gemara and Daf Chav Ches that someone who calls his friend a mamzer is sofeg esar ba'im, and the Gemara over there explains makas mardus when he called sofeg esar ba'im. So you see the makas mardus is also 39. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. But anyway, what are the things, the 8 things he would give makas mardus for? Al the mekadish b'shuka, if a man is mekadish nisha in the shuk, val the mekadish b'bia, if a man is mekadish nisha with bia, because that's considered a pritzus. It's a machlokas Rishonim. Why it's a pritzus? Rabbeinu Tam says it's a pritzus because you need a debia or a de yichud, and that's a pritzus. The Ri says it's a pritzus because your very first marital interaction with her is bia. It's not going to be something else, so that's the pritzus. Val the mekadish below shiduche. If a person is mekadish nisha without having a conversation with her first, without having any sort of dating or courtship beforehand. Val the mevatel gita. If someone sends a get to his wife al yidei shliach, and then he's mevatel the get, where they're not going to necessarily know about that. The get's going to be delivered. She's going to think she's divorced. She's going to get remarried. All of her children will be mamzerim. Val the masa modah gita. If someone gives a get and he says in front of edim that the get is batel, so even though we force him to be mevatel the modah, we give him a mal. Because he's being motzi laz on the children. If someone is a shliach beis din comes to subpoena him to the court and he gives him a hard time. Or a person who's put in cherem for 30 days and he didn't do anything to try to release himself from that nidoy, from that cherem. And a son-in-law that lives by his father-in-law's house where he's putting himself into a nisayon where he might be nichshal with his mother-in-law, because that's how Rashi explains that the assumption is that the mother-in-law very much loves the first son-in-law and there's always a chashash over there. So says Gemara, the dayer in chalifla. Wait, that implies that only if he lives there bekavius, but if he just goes there once in a while, then we're not going to give him malchus. Who chasana to chalif ababa de bechamu anymore, but there was this case of a son-in-law that went to the father-in-law's house. V'nagdei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes gave him malchus, even though he didn't live there b'kviyos. Says Gemara, who made them have a daima chamase minei? There was reason to suspect over there. I mean, that wasn't just stam a case. That was there was reason to assume in that particular case that there was something going on. So in Narda, they disagreed with what we just said, and then they said b'kulu lo mankin, and all those different things lo mankin. Rav didn't give malchus for all of those different behaviors. Ella al demekadish b'bia b'loshiduchi. The only thing he gave. He gave malchus for is if a person is mekadesh bibia without speaking to her prior to that. And some say you don't need the combination of both of those things. That he's mekadesh bibia without speaking to her prior to that. No, it's even just being mekadesh bibia, that itself is enough of a pritzus. Now this gemara is the closest thing that we have to a source for the what seems to have become the common custom that when a couple is engaged, that the future son-in-law doesn't stay at the in-laws' house. We don't have any real Gemara that says it, but the Rishonim have a discussion as to why it is that the son-in-law shouldn't live by the in-laws. So the Raman, the Darki Moshe, says that the concern is Yakutsu Zemiza, and even after Shiduchin, before Erisin, we're choshesh for that. So Lahalacha, the Rama says that the Meshuduchin and Meshudeches shouldn't live in the same house, even if they're not going to have yichud, because they'll see each other. He's going to see her before she gets dressed in the morning, before she puts on makeup, whatever. We don't want them to see each other, not at their best, until they're married. That's what the Rama writes. So again, not a real source, but that's the closest thing that we have a source for that, for what seems to be the common practice, which seems to be a wise practice anyway. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.